Hi, and welcome back to Genspired, the podcast. I am your host, Jennifer Batog. Before we dive into this episode, please remember that I'm not a medical professional nor a licensed therapist. I am, however, a spiritual being having a human experience right along with you. Please trust and use your own judgment, discernment, and intuition. My intention for these episodes is that they will reach a collective of people meant to find them. All right, let's get into it. Let's get Genspired. This is episode 13, and it's a big one. So settle in, adjust your headphones, or get your popcorn ready, as they say, because we're going to untangle some things. Namely, all the swirling information around karmic relationships, karmic partners, soulmates, twin flames, the whole gamut. I've spent the better part of 3 years coming to understand most of these terms and have reflected on how they have been a part, and in some cases, still a part of my life. You have them too. There's almost 100% guarantee of that. Whether you are aware of it or not, you have been or are a karmic partner, a soulmate, a twin flame, or all of them. If you recall back in episode 3, I talked about Earth School and how we are all here on Earth to learn all of the lessons we're meant to in this lifetime. And the majority of those lessons are learned through our interactions and relationships with other people. Let me also back up to what I just said about lessons we're meant to learn in this lifetime. Because if you believe in past lives, as I do, it's going to tie into the definitions of some of these relationships. Some of these karmics or soulmates you've encountered, you've had past lives with. Which is why in some cases, when you meet someone, you feel this instant connection or an instant comfort level with them, almost as though you've known them for years. It's because you have, in a past life, had a relationship with them in some form. And now in this lifetime, they are presented to you again, either to help you, guide you, or reinforce the lesson you're meant to learn from them. If you happen not to subscribe to the past lives theory, that's okay too. The essence of the definitions of these types of relationships will still ring true. They are all part of your lessons here on Earth School. Let's start with understanding each one and how they can tie into your life. First, let's start with the softer one, a soulmate. The word soulmate, it's tossed around everywhere. He's my soulmate. I've searched for my soulmate my whole life, or I think I just met my soulmate. People say it in daily conversations, in their wedding vows, or write it in their journals. It's a word we all know. Soulmate. Soulmate relationships tend to be long-lasting. It's two people coming together who get one another, who respect and care for one another deeply. These relationships help us grow and do teach us valuable lessons, but the hard times are fewer and far between than the other types of relationships. When you look up the definition of soulmate, you're going to see things like a person ideally suited to another as a close friend or romantic partner. Or another definition is an individual who makes each other feel complete, reflecting the idea that two souls are destined to unite in this lifetime. When I said earlier that we can meet people and feel an instant bond with them, many times people associate this with that soulmate feeling. There's an instant soul-to-soul recognition. You feel like you've known them longer than you actually have. The connection feels effortless. There's an unspoken deep understanding, an intuitive sense of what the other person is thinking or feeling. They make you feel instantly at home or comfortable in their presence. Over time, if you choose to keep this person in your life, there will be and can be mutual happiness, mutual deep respect, unwavering acceptance of one another. You think alike, experience things in the same manner, and your communication feels effortless. While the bond of similarities feels so strong and sometimes you're unable to put it into words, there's also a level of respect for each other's individuality, and you allow one another to grow separately while still maintaining that strong bond. It's pretty magical. Soulmates are real, and those lucky to meet them know it almost instantly in the energy exchange between the two of you. Soulmates can be romantic, as I mentioned, but soulmates can also present as friends, siblings, family members, and even in our pet animals, because souls don't always have to be in human form. You can also feel a deep, profound soul connection to an animal. Taking it a step further, you may have heard the term soul family, where souls have come together in the form of friendship that sometimes feels even more deeply profound than your actual blood family. These ties run very deep, and the reason is likely because you've had past lives together. For example, let's say you have a soul family in the form of two remarkably close friends. The bond between all three of you feels otherworldly and hard to explain to people because at the soul level, there's just a deep recognition of one another. Perhaps in another lifetime, one of you was a parent to the other two, or you were all siblings, or maybe you were a set of triplets, or perhaps, if you let your mind expand a bit further, you were all birds of the same flock, or wolves of the same pack. Your soul has likely been on an incredible journey through time and space, and not all of your incarnations were in human form. Your soul may have experienced many forms together. Souls form contracts to experience various things throughout time. So perhaps you and your soul family, time and time again, continue to find each other in each incarnation. And each time, there's an instant recognition of, wow, we've done this before, or I've known you before. They are mates to your soul, and it's a bond that goes beyond any kind of explanation that can be fully understood until you yourself experience a soulmate connection or relationship. If you consider soulmates at the romantic level, it's the same type of connection, a mate to your soul. Let me say that again. A mate to your soul. A mate for your soul. Meaning that before this incarnation, your soul made a contract with another soul deciding to incarnate at the same time, but with your own mission and journey, destined to find one another when the time was right. You came to Earth on your own journey and they on theirs, learning valuable lessons separately, but perhaps at the same time, and then coming together at the exact right moment to finish the journey of this incarnation together. It's beautiful when you really stop to think about it. You get to experience all the highs and lows and shit storms and rainbows of your life, and they with theirs, and then, on a random day, at a random time, the universe prepares you for union, and it happens. The instant soulmate recognition that goes beyond race, age, physical appearance, or anything else external to the essence of your soul. Our soul is energy, and it's made of pure light and love. So when it walks around in your human bodysuit, it doesn't care what your appearance is. It just knows it's safe with its mate. The sometimes tricky part is understanding if someone is your actual soulmate or are they perhaps a karmic soulmate. I'll get into that next. The other tricky part is lots, and I mean lots of people will be put in your path because, again, we have many lessons to learn. Discerning them from being false soulmates or you wanting a soulmate so badly that you just pretend someone is because you want to feel the way you know it's supposed to feel. Or you could be mid-journey and in the middle of perhaps learning about codependency at a certain point in your life, and someone comes in as a tool from the universe to help you with that codependency learning, but you're not on the right page or even in the right lesson book and haven't come to terms with your codependency style, and you think you've just met your soulmate because you want it so badly. Instead, this person is actually a karmic soulmate designed to make you look deeper, go back to the lesson the universe wants to teach you. And in some cases, it's a karmic debt that needs to be repaid. Karma that wasn't completed in a past life, so you're working on it in this life. Karmic soulmate relationships can have the same intensity and feel as a true soulmate. The connection is deep, the feelings are intense, there's familiarity, but there's instability. It's very intense, often with strong physical attraction, but it's unstable. It's passionate and exciting, but can also be volatile with really strong highs and even deeper lows. Unlike a true soulmate, a karmic soulmate enters your life with a specific reason at a specific point. It's to help you complete a spiritual contract and lesson, to pay off that debt I mentioned earlier, to help you learn important lessons for your own growth and development in this lifetime. Once the karmic debt or lesson is resolved, the relationship's purpose is fulfilled and you both become free to move on. They learned their lesson, hopefully, and you learned your lesson, hopefully. If not, the universe will send you another karmic partner to try again until you do get it. If you've learned from your karmic soulmate, you will emerge from the relationship with a new understanding, having grown on a spiritual and personal level, gaining valuable self-awareness. Personally, I've had many karmic soulmates. A lot of them, because when it comes to some of my lessons, I didn't always see or recognize the teaching, so the universe patiently just kept bringing more and more karmic partners towards me until I finally did. And guys, I did. Last year. Last October, in fact. I finally, and I mean finally, got it. I finally saw the entire picture clearly. Allow me to explain. Part of my learnings in this lifetime was around self-worth, emotional availability, and self-love. Three big lessons, three big journeys to get here. Growing up, I wasn't surrounded by emotionally available adults. My basic needs were met, yes. I had a home, food, an education, love, freedom, all of it. What was missing was emotional safety and emotional connection, along with emotional availability. Please understand, when you come to learn your lessons and you fully accept them, you move on from resentment and blame to a place of peace, knowing that whoever was responsible or whoever played a part in some of your lack, it wasn't their fault. They were only doing what they could with what they knew at the time. And another big lesson in that is that while I have grown and evolved, if they haven't, then it's not my job to convince them to learn or convince them to understand. It's their journey. And if they have chosen not to grow, that's on them, not on me. And it's not on you either. If you are finding yourself in the middle of a huge lesson, wanting so badly for an apology or even an acknowledgement of the wrongdoing or the lack of something, you won't get it. And you don't need it. You don't need it to learn. You don't need it to grow. And once you know, and once you learn, and once you accept, the freedom that comes with that will be enough and is enough. But it doesn't come without its challenges. It's sleepless nights, it's rage-induced screaming you do at home alone, or the journal filled with sometimes vile things you wish you'd said or whatever. That's part of the lesson. Learning to accept it and move on. My lack around emotional stability and availability presented itself in me wanting to people-please. I thought in order to keep the peace and make people perhaps more emotionally available to me, I had to please them. Be good at everything. Be quiet and not take up too much space. Not ask for much. Be an easy child. Be an easy kid. Never get into trouble. Never create waves. Never ask for what I actually wanted or needed. Just exist to make sure other people were happy with me. So over time, that was my default. That's how I showed up for friends and boyfriends. And that's who kept coming into my life. People who needed me to show up for them, but not in a way that I needed them to show up for me. The universe presented emotionally unavailable friends, classmates, and boyfriends. For decades, over and over and over and over and over again. Namely in romantic partners. While they all looked different physically, they all had one thing in common. None of them were emotionally available or emotionally mature. I was perpetually dating the same person over and over again, just in different body types with different first names. I didn't see it, like at all, until the very last karmic relationship I was in a year ago. When I met him, I thought for sure that I was this super duper healed spiritual girl, completely ready for my soulmate. I was manifesting it, working on myself, learning and growing spiritually, and thought, yes, girl, yes, we are friggin' ready. Bring him into my life. Let's friggin' go. The universe had other plans because you see, while I was saying it out loud and honestly believing it, the universe and my spirit team knew I hadn't learned that one valuable lesson yet. The one around seeing my worth without having to people please. So it brought me one final karmic partner. When we met, I felt an instant attraction and connection to him. I sort of felt this pull towards him that I couldn't explain and thought, shit, this is it. This is what I've been waiting to feel. What I've come to learn now is that it was the powerful pull of a soulmate, but the karmic type, not the other kind. Because if I'm being honest with myself, there were red flags almost immediately, even during what should have been a sweet romantic courtship period, all of which I ignored. I can't stress enough how much I pushed them down, how I chose to ignore noticeably clear signs that this person was not my soulmate, but a karmic partner. All because I wanted to be a partner so badly, and I thought I had all this growth and knowledge built up, but the universe knew better. The universe, while they were proud of the work I'd done, they knew I still didn't fully see my self-worth. Yet. I say yet, because thankfully it only took 6 short months and I got it. Lesson learned. Like all the light bulbs people going on at the same time learned. During that short relationship, I poured everything I had into this man. I gave him my time, my energy, my money, my love, my stability, my spirituality, and my body. He had every piece of me without ever having to do anything in return. I jumped right back into my old people-pleasing pattern and let this relationship take over my life. I didn't speak up for myself when I was upset. When he'd do something that I wasn't okay with, I didn't say anything. I just made sure he was always cared for. He always felt love and support from me. I helped him feel love like he's never experienced before. I cared for him, cooked for him, created a softer home for him, listened to him, guided him, stood up for him, praised him, encouraged him. I was all things to him and nothing for myself. When I tell you I got nothing from this man in return, I actually mean nothing. I didn't get the deep conversations I longed for. I didn't get the romance and courtship I so desperately crave. I didn't get a man who saw me for who I actually was, because how could he? I was performing. I was people-pleasing. I created a world for him that was so damn comfortable, Why in the world would he do or say anything to mess that up? During our time together, he experienced some emotional instability and some stress and anxiety that he shared with me had been plaguing him most of his life. Looking back now, I see that I was a trigger for that anxiety, and here's why. When karmic partners come together, each side has something to learn. And for him, on his side, I was triggering some deep healing that he needed to do and face, and he was refusing to do it. He didn't want to go there emotionally, so he withdrew. He didn't want to face what he needed to face, so he withdrew. My energy and the way I loved him triggered a response that he wasn't ready to see or even feel. So he pushed it down and pushed me away. While he used to say to me that he was single for almost 9 years before me because he was working on himself, it simply wasn't true. He wanted to believe that just by not being romantically attached to someone that the idea of time helped him heal. It didn't. You see, you can remain single for decades and think, well, I've been alone long enough, I'm all healed up. If you haven't taken a look at what needs to be looked at, no amount of time will help you heal. Only you willing to look at your own stuff will help break open the path to healing. The same can be said for people who are chronically in relationships all the time. Just because you've been in multiple long-term relationships doesn't mean you should be. You could be using relationships to hide and distract yourself from the shit you need to face and see. Or you've just made yourself comfortable with a karmic partner and together you choose to just stay because it's easier than facing what you don't want to face. So yes, if you've listened this far and wondered, do people marry their karmic partners? The answer is yes, all the time. You can marry or even stay with a karmic partner for years, decades, or a lifetime. It's a choice you both make to stay and work on things or suppress it all down out of either fear of being alone or fear of uncovering some uncomfortable things or simply out of a codependent habit. But you'll just end up coming back in the next lifetime to try and figure it out then. Not everyone here on Earth at this time, in this incarnation, is here to learn and grow. If you are someone who is, allow me to congratulate you on that journey because, my friends, it's not an easy one. But shit, it's rewarding, empowering, and soul-satisfying. When it comes to my last karmic partner, during the 6 short months we were together and his lack of any effort, there would be weeks upon weeks where we'd see each other maybe once or twice. In fact, there was 1 month I actually calculated the total number of hours we spent together, and that total was 3. 3 whole hours in 1 month. Even that number, seeing it written in my journal, I pressed on. That was the month of July. By October, I was finally done. Finally starting to see his lack of emotional availability and stability very clearly. It started in late August when I dug really deep through the tears and the muck of my emotions. Guys, I went there. I went into the shadows to see what I needed to see. Then in September, I laid it all out for myself. I saw the pattern with some of my past boyfriends. The same behavior, the same lack of effort, the same communication style. All of it was the exact same. Then at the beginning of October, I made one last effort to bridge our gap, and it was an epic failure. It was a conversation I had with him around effort and consideration. Consideration, to me, is a remarkably high form of love. When you take time to consider another person, you are showing love and respect for them that cannot be put into words. He wasn't understanding what I meant. He said something like, well, I do consider you, babe. I talk about you all the time to the guys at work. They know how awesome you are. That's not what I meant. So I went further and explained that considering someone is when you take them into account before doing or saying or acting on something. For example, I consider you when I think about what time to cook dinner, as I know you work later than I do, so I cook and time it so it's ready when you get home. Or you mention in passing one day that your work socks all have holes in them, so I pick up a pack while I'm running errands. Or I remember how you like to take your coffee. Things like that. I take you into consideration. He folded his arms, and he sort of had this look on his face of not quite fully understanding me, and then abruptly ended the conversation and said, "Well, I have to go to the gym. I'll see you later." Zero emotional availability for me in that moment. He goes to the gym, and while he's gone, I realize I hadn't eaten supper, so I proceed to order takeout and have it delivered right around the time I knew he would be getting back. And of course, I ordered something for him. The delivery person arrived at the exact moment he was pulling into my driveway. I didn't really plan it that close, but it really worked out that well. I opened the door, took the delivery, and watched my boyfriend walk up the driveway with a takeout soft drink in one hand and a brown takeout bag in another. I kind of smiled and thought, well, we both got takeout for each other. How cute. As he places the items down in the kitchen, he says, "Oh shit, you got me ribs and wings? Awesome. Let me just eat this burger and fries, and I'll have those later." Completely bewildered, I looked at him and I said, "Did you just pick up something for yourself?" He said, "Yeah, I was starving after the gym." And then proceeded to take a bite of his burger. It was all I could do to fight back a storm of tears from coming out of my eyeballs. Even as I say this to you right now, there is a huge lump in my throat. I'm taken right back to how I felt that evening, where just 2.5 hours before, I had just given him examples of how consideration is important to me in a relationship, and he comes home with food for himself. He had time to sit in a drive-thru lineup, and not once did it cross his mind to text me to see if I wanted anything, let alone just pick something up for me with consideration. And here I was, with a full-on takeout meal of things he liked that I had purchased without hesitation because I chose to fully consider him as I had every day for 6 months. I ended the relationship 2 days later. There was quite literally nothing inside of me that wanted this person in my energy any longer. When I told him it was over, he didn't have much to say. He just proceeded with, "Okay, well, if that's how you feel." In that moment, I felt absolutely nothing. Zero. Nada. A week later, it was my birthday. He texted me some generic greeting that I never responded to. I then blocked his number and his social media, and I haven't spoken to him or seen him in the year since. While on one hand, it was the cleanest breakup I've ever experienced, on the other, the lesson was priceless. I carry no resentment towards this man, none. I don't ever speak his name or have any attachment to his energy whatsoever. Because what I got from him, I'm eternally grateful for. And a lot of you are probably like, "Girl, what the fuck? You gave everything to this man. He didn't treat you well," and so on and so on. And you're right. But the thing is, the karmic lesson that finally closed the chapter for me was liberating. This relationship helped me see that for my entire life, I have been chasing men. Hell, chasing everything and everyone. I even had an epiphany the other day in the shower. Guys, I was a corporate recruiter for over 20 years. Do you know what recruiters do? We chase people. Like, the irony is not lost on me. As a recruiter, I would have to try and court people over to the company I was working for, please them in a way that would get them to jump ship and come over to us. It felt so natural of a career for me because for years it was my way of existing. I chased everything all the time. I did it for a living. I chased friendship. I chased boyfriends. And as humbling as that is to say, because it's a bit embarrassing to say out loud how much pursuing I've actually done in my life, I finally get it. Guys, I finally get it. Like, I got it. Fuck. It's so fucking liberating when you see it and you learn it. Like, I'm finally free to stop chasing. As a child, I chased the emotional availability and approval of my father, and I never got it. My dad isn't a bad guy. He's just not emotionally open, nor was he ever emotionally available to me. Still isn't. This is my father wound. An absent father or an emotionally unavailable father can present in the same type of ways as you grow up. And this just isn't for daughters. Sons can experience this too. You might find yourself falling in love with anyone who gives you even the slightest bit of attention because deep down you're still starving for what you didn't get from your own father. You may carry a quiet belief that you have to earn love through people-pleasing, even though you are and always were enough. So there you have it. Through all of my karmic relationships, I finally learned what I needed to learn. Because you see, family can be karmic. The people who give you life, raise you, or are part of your bloodline can also be karmic relationships. In this lifetime, they are here to help you evolve, just as my dad is for me. While he may be emotionally unavailable, I've also come to learn how he does show his affection through acts of service. So while I can't connect with him emotionally, I've healed the part of me that longs for that. I don't need it because I know my own worth and value, and I emotionally validate myself. My dad shows his love through his actions, his acts of service, his unwavering ability to drop everything and show up for me when my car breaks down or I need help with my business. He shows up that way. So instead of trying to get him to show up the way I thought I needed, I accept the way he knows how to. So while I was out in the world bumping into emotionally unavailable men because that's what I grew up with and that's all I knew, healing that part of me, now I understand and have come to learn to stop chasing and to start receiving. To understand that I am enough just as I am and that I don't ever have to earn someone's love. I am worthy just as I am. I no longer feel the need to please to make sure everyone else is happy at my own expense. Instead, I'm uncovering what makes me happy and how consideration and beautiful reciprocity are things that I value in all of my relationships, regardless of their form. Karmic relationships have also presented themselves to me in the forms of some pretty toxic female bosses, school bullies, and childhood friends. Each one, when I've looked closer, have taught me lessons around self-worth, self-love, and self-respect. I've gained some valuable insights thanks to those karmic relationships, and on their end, I believe I've taught them valuable lessons as well. You may find yourself in a few karmic relationships right now, and that's okay. They are present for your learning and your growth. Take your time. It will unfold when it's supposed to. And when you get the lesson and come out of the other side, I can tell you with 100% confidence, the feeling is blissful and affirming. Okay, so we've covered soulmates, karmic soulmates, which can also be referred to as karmic partners bearing karmic lessons, as you've heard me describe. Shall we try and attempt twin flames? This one can be a bit topsy-turvy. Little trigger warning here. If you're experiencing one right now and you are in the middle of a twin flame journey, I'm sending you so much love and light. These relationships are one of the most, if not the most challenging of all. The term twin flame, what does it mean? In some circles, it's broken down simply by saying that your soul splits into two halves. And when you come together again, it's an intense, powerful twin recognition of your, and I'm air quoting, other half, so to speak. When I looked it up in a Google search, it was defined as a spiritual concept of an intensely connected mirror soul, or the other half of one's soul, believed to be split into two bodies to experience the world and grow. So, the other half of your soul's flame, hence twin flame. Your soul, as I mentioned, is made up of energy. So the flame energy of your soul, when split into two, creates a twin. These relationships are categorized by a profound, often magnetic pull, exposing both individuals' shared strengths and weaknesses to help them achieve growth through intense lessons and challenges. Breaking it down even further, twin flames act as that spiritual mirror, reflecting each other's fears, insecurities, strengths, and weaknesses, as I mentioned, helping foster deeper self-awareness. Often when twin flames come together, it propels them into a spiritual awakening and journey to push them to confront and resolve unhealed issues. Unlike soulmates, who are often referred to as your perfect companion, twin flame relationships are intense, rocky, emotionally fueled, and not always long-term. They are designed to facilitate rapid growth and more often than not are very temporary. When you look at the soulmate versus the twin flame versus the karmic partner, here's what you're going to get. You get a soulmate who perfectly complements you, providing comfort and support. A twin flame who is the other half of your soul, a more intense and challenging connection that acts as a mirror to force your spiritual and personal growth through that connection. And a karmic partner, or karmic relationship, or karmic soulmate, which is about growth through challenging lessons. The purpose of a karmic relationship is to resolve unfinished business from past lives, clear out old patterns, and teach valuable lessons. Of the three, soulmate relationships aren't as intense or as triggering as twin flames and karmic partners. We only have one twin flame in our lifetime, whereas we can have many karmics and many soulmates. And how lovely is that, that you get to experience more than one mate for your soul? And by the same token, more than one karmic to help you learn. It's a lot to untangle and unpack. Twin flames and karmics present sometimes in the same way. And sometimes both are short-lived because we learn and we move on. And sometimes people marry their twin flames and their karmic partners. There is no right or wrong. All of these relationships are in your life to help you. Twin flame relationships can actually be one of the shorter connections you have. And this is because of the strength of the mirroring that it creates. The other person becomes someone who mirrors you at a deep level, reflecting your most hidden insecurities and wounds. And oftentimes, one person finds it too intense and they just leave. They then become the runner, and the other person takes on the role of the chaser. Twin flame connections always have a runner and a chaser. Twin flames may never reunite again. When they separate, they are required to work on themselves at a deep level, and one usually gets further along than the other, so they may never come into union again. Or sometimes you ping-pong in and out of each other's lives, one running and one chasing, because you're growing and evolving at different rates and times. Your twin flame is meant to inspire you to ascend, or on the other hand, they can inspire you to continue to repeat unhealthy patterns. If you happen to reunite with your twin flame and you both are at a healed point, then union and longevity is absolutely possible. But make no mistake, twin flame is a trending term nowadays, and a lot of people excuse toxic behavior in their mate because of the twin flame journey. You might hear someone say, "Oh, don't mind her. She's my twin flame, so toxicity is our love language." Or, "Pay them no mind. He acts that way because he has a deep twin flame love for me." That's bullshit. Those in a twin flame journey know they are in a twin flame journey at that deep level, not this surface trendy level excusing bad behavior bullshit. Both karmic partners and twin flame relationships involve a roller coaster of drama. So you can get stuck in cycles with these types of relationships, which is why some people choose to stay. They're in the cycle and they can't get out, nor have they chosen to see the lessons, or at times, they simply think that they can't live without the other person. Hear me clearly when I say this, however. None of these relationships warrant any kind of abuse. So if you are in an abusive relationship, that's not a soulmate, that's not a karmic, that's not a twin flame. You are in an abusive relationship, and it should not be mistaken for anything else. Please seek immediate help if you happen to be listening and wondering what kind of situation or relationship you find yourself in. Don't stick around because you think there's a lesson to learn. There isn't one. It's abuse, and it's not okay. Sometimes in the past, I've learned quick lessons from karmic partners, a lesson around boundaries, for example. So those types of relationships can be short-lived because the lesson is clear and right there for you to see. You set the boundary, you cut the cord, and you move on. Let's also address another angle here. Some connections that feel intense and passionate and sexually charged are none of these types of relationships. They can actually be a byproduct of trauma bonds or unhealthy attachment styles you may have picked up in childhood and have nothing to do with helping you grow over time. See what I mean? Untangling all of these can be a real challenge. The key for me has just been taking time to reflect and look at each relationship from a higher point of view. When you're in it, it's a lot harder to see clearly. When you're out of it, looking back or looking all around it, the lesson presents itself or the pattern emerges to help you recognize it going forward. I've been in romantic relationships that were none of these. They were just relationships that ran their course because we outgrew one another or simply because we weren't a match and it was evident from the start. One thing I do know for sure is that I value all of my romantic partners, every single one of them. Every man that I've ever loved or allowed into my world has brought me something valuable in the form of helping me learn, grow, evolve, and yes, through even the most intense and challenging karmic cycles, I can see why they were on my path. I recognize addiction patterns more clearly now, the aforementioned emotional unavailability pattern, the hot and cold and in and out pattern, the narcissistic pattern. I see them all for the value they hold in my ascension and growth. As a woman who is almost 48 years old, I thought I was behind or lagging in some way because for me, it's taken this long to awaken and understand. But now I realize that my timing is just my timing. Some people learn and get their lessons sooner. Some meet their soulmate at an early age and create a beautiful, lifelong love story together. Some never meet their true soulmate, which, as heartbreaking as that sounds, is the truth. I haven't met my twin flame, and I don't think I ever will. I don't feel or believe that to be true for me in this particular lifetime. What I intuitively know for myself is that my true love, my divinely guided soulmate, is around the corner. I feel his energy circling me. He is going to be someone brand new in my life. And he will also bring in new members of my soul family. I'm calling in my soul family because now is the right time. With all the valuable lessons and growth I've done, I now know more than ever, this is my time. My time has come to meet my soulmate, to integrate our lives and create a beautiful soul tribe together. We will bring each other peace, support, consideration, love, mutual respect, and a passion we won't be able to articulate with words. I know this because I can feel it. I can feel that he's done the work on his end, and he knows I've done the work on my end. Our union is near. The universe isn't going to send me any more karmic partners because we both realize that I know what I needed to learn to get to this next phase of my life. Without hesitation or any form of resentment, I have released all of my karmic partners from the past. None of them are bad guys. They may have done some not so great things or treated me in a way that hopefully through their own growth they acknowledge was not okay and is not okay. But without them, I'd still be in the cycle of learning. They got me to this point so that my true soulmate gets this beautiful, awakened version of me that feels more authentic than ever before. I feel karmically cleansed and spiritually blessed to be able to even understand all of these lessons and teachings Earth School has brought to me so far, especially in the forms of these kinds of relationships. I couldn't have met my soulmate before now because I wasn't ready, and neither was he. We had work to do on ourselves. If you follow tarot or have ever had a tarot reading done for yourself and the Lover's card happened to pop out, an interpretation that I've come to appreciate around that card is that it represents the true love card. And true love often comes later in life for a lot of people because of the work that needed to be done individually first before coming together. The Lover's card represents the union of two spiritually aligned, awakened, healed souls. And I think that's beautiful. To recap, because we covered a lot so far, here is what is hopefully an untangled cheat sheet that helps clarify these three types of relationships. Soulmates. Definition: a mate for your soul, a companion, someone who cares for you as you do for them, a softer energy where you feel safe, protected, and seen. Can come in the form of anyone or anything, romantic, platonic, business, or animal. We can have many in one lifetime. Karmic partners, karmic relationships. Definition: you come into each other's lives to settle unfinished business and learn important lessons, likely to pay off past life karmic debt. The relationship can be intense, short-lived, and lesson-packed. The intention is to learn, let go, and move on. And finally, twin flames. Definition: the other half of your soul's flame. When you split from one soul into two, you are sent on separate journeys, and when united, the connection and soul recognition is intense and undeniable because they are your mirror, designed to show you every single insecurity and wound. Short-lived, often tumultuous, challenging, and quite difficult. I'm hopeful that this helped you understand a bit more about each type of relationship. And even if you're confused about what someone could be in your life, it's completely fine. You don't have to have everyone fit into one label or another. The lesson will still come regardless of if you're able to categorize the relationship or not. For example, my first love isn't in any of these categories. He's in a category of his own called my first love. It's that simple. He opened me up to what romantic love felt like and looked like. We were young and each other's firsts. So it ended because we had received the guidance, but it was time to explore life further, individually. What I can tell you and reassure you of wholeheartedly is this: if you are longing for or searching for a soulmate or members of your soul family, just know that they are looking for you too. And you will find each other in perfect, beautiful, magical timing. As always, if you've been Genspired, please leave a comment below. I'd love to hear from you.